Good morning, and welcome to the Flutter Entertainment Q1 results update. Peter Jackson, CEO, will host the call and is joined by CFO Jonathan Hill. My name is Kathy, and I'm your event manager today. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen only. If you require assistance at any time, please key star zero on your telephone, and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. There will be a chance to ask questions later. This call is being recorded, but now I will hand over to Peter. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you all for joining us this morning. With me today is Jonathan, our CFO. I'm sure you've all had a chance to read the Q1 trading update that we released this morning. I won't go through it in detail here, but I would just like to highlight a few key points. Firstly, it's easy to forget just how much has changed at Flutter since our Q1 report a year ago. This time last year, we were yet to complete our combination with The Stars Group, and we're in the midst of assessing what lockdown and the cancellation of global sport would mean for our business. Thankfully, one year on, the diversification benefits that our merger delivered are evident in the numbers we're reporting this morning. Our business is continuing to perform very well, with total revenue growth in Q1 of 33% and online growth of 42%. This has been driven by 36% growth in average monthly players, or AMPs, with strong growth in our recreational customer base across all four divisions. In the U.K. and Ireland, we've continued to win share as more and more customers have migrated from retail to online. What's been particularly encouraging is how SBG and Paddy Power and Betfair are both performing well, with revenue growth of 35% and 36% respectively in Q1. We estimate that Flutter brands accounted for 56% of all Cheltenham customers this year, with Paddy Power the number one downloaded app during the week. It really was an Irish festival this year. In Australia, we grew our revenues by 59% and our AMPs by 43%. We've been watching trends in this market closely as it emerges from COVID disruption, and I'm pleased to say that so far, customer numbers have remained at elevated levels. That said, while the economy is opening up in Australia, things are not fully back to normal just yet, so we'll continue to watch this closely. In international, we're continuing to evolve our customer proposition by increasing our levels of investment in generosity, and we're seeing some early signs of progress. Overall, revenues increased 17% in the first 2 months of the year before we started to lap the challenging COVID comps. International, in particular, faces more challenging comps throughout Q2, with additional headwinds of German turnover tax, which we believe will come into effect on the 1st of July. As a reminder, we think that change will cost the group approximately 20 million pounds in EBITDA in the second half alone. In the U.S., we've maintained our number one position with a record quarter for revenue, AMPs, and customer acquisition. We generated revenue of almost $400 million, up 135% year-on-year in the first quarter alone, with 1.6 million average monthly players. We're pleased to launch in Michigan and Virginia during the quarter. Our performance in existing states remains very encouraging, with staking growth of 93% in Q1 and stable market share. ESG and safer gambling initiatives remain a key priority for the group across our markets, with new measures introduced, including our Gamban partnership in the U.S. and development of the planned affordability triple step in the U.K. We're continuing to focus on new ways to ensure that our business is built on sustainable foundations. We announced in March that we're giving consideration to a potential listing in the U.S. of a small part of FanDuel Group. While we continue to examine options for this exciting business, no decision has been made at this point, and you'll appreciate that we are unable to take detailed questions on this at this time or provide forward guidance. Of course, should we decide to proceed with the transaction, we'll lay out the rationale and details in full at that point. You'll also have seen our announcement on the 7th of April with respect to an arbitration process between Flutter and Fox Corporation with respect to an option to acquire an 18.6% stake in FanDuel. That arbitration process is now underway, with the appointment of an arbitrator almost finalized. Given that this is now the subject of a legal arbitration, we won't be commenting further. Our position on the matter remains unchanged. As we think about the rest of the year, we are conscious of the fact that parts of our business will now face steeper comparatives as we lap the benefits of stay-at-home restrictions in many parts of the world. However, with a normalized sporting calendar in place and good player momentum across our business, we look forward to the remainder of the year and beyond with confidence. With that, Jonathan and I will be happy to take any questions you may have. As always, in the interest of giving everyone an opportunity to ask their questions, can I request that you limit yourselves to 2 questions each in the first instance? If we have time at the end, we can then come back to follow-ups. And with that, I'll hand the call back to Kathy to manage the Q&A session.
Thank you. Everyone, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, please key star then 1 on your telephone. If you then decide to withdraw your question, simply key star 2. All questions will be answered in the order received and you'll be advised when to ask your question. All other lines will remain on listen only. Just to remind you, if you wish to ask a question, please key star then 1 on your telephone. The first question comes from Ed Young of MS.
Morning, and thank you for taking my question.
The first
one was on Australia. I thought the comments there were interesting about Australia essentially being a bit of a lead indicator.
We've lost you, Ed.
We have now got Gavin Kelleher. Please go ahead, Gavin.
I think we'll have to come back to Ed's.
Yeah, we'll come back to Ed in a moment.
Okay. Gavin?
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I'm here. Morning, Jonathan. Morning, Peter.
Morning,
just Gavin. On the US, obviously, huge customer acquisition in the quarter. I know this isn't, you don't give EBITDA updates. Can you give any sort of indication on where your CPAs are tracking? Are they ahead, above, or in line with expectations in Q1? That's my first question. And then my second question is on the area of responsible gambling. You're doing an awful lot on that. You mentioned the triple step introduction of affordability in the UK. Can you just give us a bit more insight on when that will be introduced and how extensive that introduction will be this year? And as well as that, I believe you're trialling some staking limits in Skybet in the UK, when that happens and any sort of learnings to date, if there have been trials.
Thanks, Gavin. Look, you know, I think you're sort of definitely stretching the 2 questions with, you know, different parts there, but look, I'm happy to take those. So, look, in the US, you know, you're right, there was huge customer acquisition in Q1, and, you know, a lot of that was focused around the tremendous success we saw in the Super Bowl. But, yeah, we're also very pleased with the acquisition, you know, that we've seen in the new states that we've entered, you know, Michigan, Virginia. We were able to take advantage of the fact that in Illinois, you know, remote sign-up was available for a period of time. So, you know, we've pushed really hard. We're continuing to be very pleased with the way we've been able to sort of cross-sell into our DFS base. And, you know, we continue to, you know, to believe that we have sort of industry-leading, you know, acquisition costs in the States.
The one thing I'd add, just in looking at where we are in the States, particularly in these new states, is that because some of our acquisition costs come through in promotional mechanics, particularly around our very successful Super Bowl 55-1 offer, what you find is a suppression of GGR in those new states during that open period. So actually, when you look at those 2 new states, you should take a good look at handle rather than solely looking at GGR, because you get a GGR suppression in those very early months, particularly around these either the Super Bowl offer or the Spread the Love campaign, which we also do, which is a sort of viral way of driving odds up and giving value to customers.
Yeah, and look, you know, in terms of the work that we're doing from a safer gambling perspective, look, this is a very important area of focus for us right across the organisation. And, you know, I remember on the call we did last time, we had a number of questions around what we're doing in the States, and so, you know, we wanted to sort of showcase some of that in today's statement. But here in the UK, you know, we are, you know, continuing, you know, to race for the top, as we've said in the past. The triple step approach to affordability is part of that. You know, clearly, and for those of you who aren't familiar with it, you know, it's the third part of the triple step, which is effectively some of the sort of spending backstops which we've been introducing relatively recently into our brands in the UK. We're pleased with the impact that that's had and then the engagement it's driving us with customers, and so we'll continue to do more of that and you know, provides us with good data and insights that we can use in our business to help sort of improve player protections and indeed share that data you know, with the government as part of the reviews that they're doing into the Gambling Act. And it's actually that, you know, that decision to pursue sort of data and insights and share them with the government that's led us to undertake some of the staking limit trials with Skybet. You know, we thought it was a good thing to get some data and insights out of it, so we're trialing it, and we will share that data with the government as appropriate.
That's great. Thanks, Peter. Thanks, John.
Thank you. The next question comes from Kevin Gruel.
Hey, hi, guys. Just two questions from me. You've offered some really interesting insights to the FanDuel group losses last year, which amount to about 110 million. It looks like FoxBet's running at a disproportionately high cost. Could you perhaps offer more color on when you believe the FanDuel group could turn cash break even or positive? And what is it about FoxBet that's explaining these disproportionate losses? Are you cross-selling FanDuel customers into FoxBet yet? Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, on your first, thanks for those questions, Kieran. The answer to the first question is not very precise. The answer is it depends. And it really is driven by the pace of state opening. And, you know, obviously we laid out in the prelims the contribution from, you know, those 18 and 19 cohorts that have come through and the positive contribution. But obviously what happens is every time we open a new state, clearly we make a loss as we invest in building the customer base. So it's very difficult to say exactly how that legislative process is going to work across the US and therefore how those loss-making state openings will impact the P&L. So and the cash flow. So it's a really tricky question and one that I think you'd probably have to take a view on the state openings, and particularly as you get the bigger states, those tend to have a bigger in-year divot, particularly when the states open in the August-September timeline in time for NFL, when obviously we spend all of the marketing money, we make all of the promotional generosity to drive customers into the franchise, and then obviously they return minimal or even negative net revenues during the financial year. So it's a very tricky question to ask, but I think, you know, the thing I take most comfort in is the data that we shared with you at the prelims around that really positive contribution that we're driving from those older cohorts in New Jersey. And as we build up those older cohorts of profitable customers, it'll just be that balance in each year between the existing cohorts of existing customers and the balance, the proportion of those relative to how much we're driving new customer base into the business.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, you know, to some extent, you know, Jonathan's answer there helps provide some of the explanations to what we're seeing in terms of the, you know, disparity between the performance between FanDuel and FoxBet. You know, the way I think about, you know, the FanDuel business is we're creating a tremendous of embedded value with the, you know, the large number of the customers that we're, you know, we're putting into the business. The dynamics of the customer acquisitions, the LTVs, are very, very positive, and we're really pleased with it. And of course, we get really good, you know, we increasingly get better and better sort of operating leverage as we push more volume through the business. If I contrast that with FoxBet, which is, you know, is struggling, that, you know, the product is not as good as FanDuel. Unfortunately, we're still having to use the legacy Stars Group sports betting platform, which is not as good as the capabilities that FanDuel have. And so, you know, customer acquisitions are lower, particularly on the sports side, and we don't get the same benefit of that sort of operating leverage. And so with the sort of fixed costs associated with the business, you know, losses are higher. And it gives us some interesting visibility of what it's like for our other smaller competitors facing us down in the States. It's hard, you know.
Yeah, and the final point I'd add is we obviously have TVG and DFS within FanDuel, and they're very, you know, very good positive contribution businesses, and obviously covering a lot of fixed overheads which you have in these businesses. So a range of factors.
Super. Thank you very much.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone. The next question comes from Michael Mitchell of Davy.
Yes, good morning, Peter. Morning, Jonathan. Thanks for taking my questions too, if I could. First of all, international. You reference, you know, being pleased with acquisition and retention metrics in the division. I wonder if you could provide a bit more color in terms of what you're seeing in response to some of your more recent promotional and brand initiatives. And then secondly, in the US, just interested in your comments around the expansion of the expected margin. Again, I wonder, could you shed a bit more light on that and you know, your thoughts in terms of whether FanDuel, you know, could structurally be a more profitable business than some of the other operators in the market. Thank you.
Hi, Michael. Look, from a sort of international perspective, you know, we have been pleased with the way in which we've been able to grow the casino business. You know, we talked about you know, wanting to, you know, invest behind that, and you know, we recently launched a new campaign, and we're pleased with the way that that's getting traction for us, and we're seeing, you know, continued growth in the casino business. I think we're also, you know, pleased with, you know, the way that the poker business is performing. But you know, it's hard to disaggregate what's happening on an underlying basis with the sort of continued lockdowns that we face, you know, across the, you know, particularly sort of the European markets, which are so important for that business. Look, you know, we think that the investments we've made in Generosity, the investments we're making into sort of beginning to start to improve the product, you know, are all important steps to take in that business. Jonathan,
yeah, and I think, you know, some of the actual mechanics we're using, you know, so if I just talk about a couple of those, you know, we've obviously got the rig back challenge in terms of poker, and we can measure the ROI on those very clearly, and the returns to player and how that affects, you know, how much they engage with the platform. So, you know, very measurable in terms of how we invest. Obviously, we've got a bit of money that we're putting into also into overlays in terms of tournaments. And again, we can measure that quite precisely in terms of returns. On the casino side, you know, if it's 7 days of rewards, which is a really popular initiative in casino, which is driving activity and really driving customer engagement. Then obviously, we've had the million-dollar race that we've really been pushing in casino. It's pretty new. We've run another race at the end of March, and again, we're seeing really good engagement with that product. And then obviously, you know, some of the brand initiatives we've done, the Neymar, the Epic Downtime, which is landing very well in terms of the casino product, and then obviously the Neymar campaign, which is helping drive saliency of the brand and consideration of the brand. So, you know, a lot of positive stuff in there, a lot of very good measurable stuff as well.
I mean, we hit an all-time high number in terms of the number of sort of games or hands, you know, per player in March in the casino, which was, you know, great sort of validation for all the work that the team are doing. So in terms of the US, look, we are pleased with where we've seen, you know, the margins trend to. You know, I think we talked a little bit about the benefits we're getting from same game parlay, which is obviously, you know, quite a proprietary piece of, you know, technology that we have in-house, and therefore we get all the benefits of. And even while some of our competitors are beginning to try and copy that product, they're using third parties, which means they don't get the same margin uplift. And I think, you know, it's a good example of where having ownership of our own technology stack and ownership of, you know, sort of risk and trading gives us real benefits in the business. And I think that, you know, when you compare the sort of expected performance of our business in the future compared with a lot of other competitors who are more reliant on third parties, we ought to get some structural benefits, you know, as a consequence of, you know, the product mix, the sort of in-play stuff, the same game parlays, as well as the fact that we sort of own risk and trading.
But clearly we're not taking an underlying different approach to the sort of head-to-head over rounds in the market. We're keeping them where we set them to start with, pretty tight, in order to make sure that this is a pretty competitive market in the US when it comes to over rounds.
Super, very clear. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Simon Davies of Deutsche Bank.
Good morning, guys. Two from me, please. Firstly, can you give a rough indication of what percentage of your international revenues now come from unregulated markets? And are there any plans to exit any more markets over the coming 12 months? And secondly, just on Canada, what are your expectations in terms of the opening up of the Canadian market? And how well positioned do you think FanDuel will be for that?
What I can tell you is overall our revenues, the split of overall group revenues from, if you went back to H1 19, would have been 83% regulated. I think we're now at somewhere around or just above 90%. And that comes from a mixture of factors, Simon. It comes from markets which have moved from unregulated to regulated, and it comes from markets where we've chosen not to continue to operate. I would just make sure we all think about the fact that there's three types of markets in our view. There's regulated, there is unregulated, untaxed, and then there is black, which is illegal markets. We do not operate in the third of those. There are markets in the second category where we're very comfortable operating. So, you know, we don't immediately see that going to zero, but, you know, we'll continue to, your question about do we see turning any more markets off over the next 12 months, it's a very dynamic situation in terms of regulation across the world and the geographies that we operate in, and we will continue to analyze and make sure we understand exactly what's going on across the markets in which we operate and make decisions on a flexible and real-time basis.
Yeah, I mean, look, Simon, that 90% is going to grow in time, and you know, you'll be aware that after the transaction with the Stars Group, we did a very detailed assessment of their business, and there was quite a lot of business which we chose to switch off because it didn't meet with our what I've sort of described as more progressive risk appetite. In terms of Canada, you know, look, we're excited to see what happens in that market. Interestingly, the PokerStars brand has been advertised in Canada for more than 20 years, so it's an incredibly well-known brand in that market. And of course, you know, FanDuel will get some bleed across as well because of the interest in the U.S. sports in that market as well. So, look, we think we've got some very good brands to target at that market, and you know, hopefully we'll be able to achieve a podium position, if not a gold medal.
Thank you. And the next question comes from Ed Young, MS.
Welcome back, Ed.
Thank you. Can you hear me now?
We can, yes. Yeah.
Perfect. So my first question was on Australia being a lead indicator for how markets might perform as lockdowns ramp down elsewhere in the world. So I just wonder if there are any sort of KPIs you could share about, sort of retail-type customers you've acquired during the period and retention or any other kind of indicators that would help read across. Obviously, we can see on a headline basis the revenue numbers still remain very strong. And the second one is, I'm not sure which bit you'd like to answer. Maybe it's a straight no, which is fine. But on the US side, I mean, obviously Fox is a partner, but I would say some of the process you mentioned, arbitration, is also a bit adversarial. I just wondered, could you just sort of help us understand if there is any risk that US operations could be distracted by what is going on, or are you sort of comfortable that they're all run sort of separately enough to avoid that risk going forward? Thanks.
Look, Ed, on Australia, you're right. I think it is a really good lead indicator for us in the rest of the world because, you know, a lot of the lockdown restrictions have been lifted, albeit there are still occasional snap lockdowns in the market. Now, I think, you know, we're really pleased with the way that the business has retained a lot of the retail customers that we acquired last year. I mean, you know, I think we think that we've retained, you know, most of the customers. When we look at the betting patterns and behaviours of some of those cohorts we acquired last year, they look very familiar to us as, you know, the type of sort of a retail punter, and we seem to have kept them in the business, and we think that the quality of the products and the generosity we're giving them is what's helping us there. And so, you know, look, we're very pleased. And, you know, you can see the AMPs data that we shared, you know, in Q1 to have that up 43%. You know, I think it shows how well the business is performing in Australia. John, I don't know whether you want to.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I'd say is, you know, Australia is not back to the historic normal, so and it's pretty early days since they've come out of sort of full lockdown in all territories. So I would, you know, we'll continue to monitor this really closely because I don't think we've seen the full
sort of extrapolation of, we're certainly not back to normal, and until we get back to normal, we won't really see the patterns, but hopefully, you know, a proportion of that wallet share from those who have migrated from retail to online, they'll keep with us, and you know, we'll keep a share of that that spend.
And look, you know, your question about the US, well, you know, Fox are a very important partner for us in the market. You know, we do have those two businesses in the US, is the FanDuel business and then FoxBet, and of course, we know Fox have the right to come in and acquire half of FoxBet. We've done an awful lot to support the FoxBet business. You know, when I look at the step up in the quality of the team and management that we have supporting that business, the focus that we're putting on it from a tech perspective, you know, Lachlan's been tremendous in terms of, you know, chairing regular meetings to help boost and improve the performance of the Super 6 product, and you know, you've seen where that business has got to. So you know, we do think that they are important partners. I mean, you know, they're particularly focused, obviously, on growing the FoxBet business, and you know, when we look at the amount of media spend that FanDuel has with Fox, you know, it is small, but you know, there clearly could be opportunities for us to improve that in the future. Yeah. We are going through this arbitration. I mean, one of the benefits ordinarily of arbitration is you can do it confidentially. So, you know, it hadn't been our intention to discuss it. You know, I think it's a pretty regular thing that occurs in the US market, and we understand that, you know, these mechanisms sometimes, you know, have to be used. So, look, we remain, you know, supportive of what we're doing with FoxBet, but also, you know, really delighted with the way that, you know, FanDuel is performing, and, you know, you've seen the disclosures in the release this morning of the, you know, of the two businesses that we effectively own in the US.
And just 2 points to add. One is, you know, we'd obviously, you know, Peter's referenced the sports product in FoxBet from the earlier question is quite challenged, and you know, it's obviously dependent on us swapping out the sports betting product for international. So there's a sort of dependency, and we're getting on with that. But that, as you'll be aware, takes time. I think the second point to make is just, you know, while Fox is a very important partner of ours, it's not a huge component of the marketing spend of FanDuel, and actually FanDuel's been pretty successful even before, you know, pre-merger, and when Fox became a partner of the group. So while we're highly, highly supportive of the FoxBet business and Fox's partners, FanDuel isn't overly reliant on that as a channel to market.
Okay, thanks. Very useful on both. Thanks.
Thank you for your question. If you wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone.
Have we got any more questions coming through? Should we take those?
We do have another question. It comes from the line of James Rowland Clark of Barclays.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Just a couple of quick questions on the UK and Ireland. You talk in the release about the strength you saw in January and February before the COVID comps, but also in March as well. Just thinking about the trends you've seen since the partial reopening of pubs, restaurants and betting shops, it looks like online gambling deposits dipped initially quite a bit because everyone went to the pub or restaurant and has reverted back to a level seen before that. Is that something you would agree with? And then secondly, you answered that question about Australia's activity kind of trending down recently, but not to pre-COVID levels quite yet. Do you think Australia is a genuine lead indicator for the UK and Europe? And if not a perfect indicator, then why not? Thank you.
Yeah. So look, James, I think, you know, you've got to be, it's, you know, particularly, you know, it's not easy in Q1, and it's going to get even harder as we go into sort of Q2 and Q3 to try and sort of draw comparisons of, you know, what we're seeing, you know, in the market in comparison to last year. I mean, you know, what we've actually started doing in the business is we've been looking at how we've been performing based on sort of a 2-year basis, because there was just so much disruption, you know, happened in March. So look, We are very pleased with the way that the business in the UK has performed in Q1. You know, we shared with you some of the stats that we saw from Cheltenham, and actually if we look at things like the Grand National, you know, the amounts that were staked and compared that with 2019, you know, we believe that the market was, you know, sort of was well ahead. So look, I'm pleased with the way that the business is performing. I think there is undoubtedly going to be some impact as a result of, you know, consumers being able to sort of get out and about, and, you know, that will have a knock-on impact, you know, on the business. But we think we've got some, you know, very resilient brands with, you know, with Paddy Power, Sky Bet, and Betfair, and of course, the, you know, the PokerStars brand, which focuses on casino as well in the UK. And I think, you know, whilst we might expect to see you know, a reduction in the number of sort of interactions with the customer on a sort of, you know, on a weekly or monthly basis, you know, it could be that people will sort of slightly moderate their behaviour. We don't expect people to stop sort of transacting with us altogether. You know, I think when we look at what's going on in Australia, you know, it isn't entirely back to normal there. You know, attendances at the AFL and NRL have been down significantly, you know, year on year. You know, is that because people are nervous about getting on public transport? Is it because people would be rather, you know, seeing friends who they haven't seen all year? I don't know. So I think, you know, Australia is definitely that. It's definitely a leading indicator for us. But, you know, trying to sort of apply too much, you know, read across into the UK is tough. You know, the UK market is different, and I think we've got to see how the economy performs. There's Brexit impacts that are going to sort of undoubtedly have a big impact on, you know, on the economy. And there's, you know, we don't even yet know how lockdown's going to open up. Are people going to be allowed to travel for holidays? You know, there's a lot of stuff to work through.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably summarise Peter's final comment as while we're happy and pleased with where we've got to, both at end of Q1 and more recently, there is a lot of uncertainty out there. And while we're not being overly pessimistic about it, I think we just recognise there are a lot of moving parts and over the next, you know, three quarters.
That's very helpful. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, James. Look, I think we'll draw it to a conclusion there. So, yeah, Cathy, thank you very much. Thank you, everyone, for joining and listening this morning. And we hope that, yeah, at some point we'll be able to do some of these things in person soon. Take care.